Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
When Peter saw heaven open, he was standing up on the roof of the house. And in Acts 10 and 9, he's in a vision that says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. There, it uses that word trance. And so Peter's in some kind of, I don't know, some kind of state that God has got him in. It says, and saw heaven opened. And so now this different dimension opens up again for Peter, and Peter looks up. And it says, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. When the heavens opened for Peter, it completely changed his whole life. I mean, everything he had ever known, everything he'd ever been taught, has all been just been wiped away when this comes down from heaven, when heaven's open, and this thing lowers down, it's got all these animals on it, and these are things that he wasn't ever allowed to eat, and God tells him to eat. Rise up, kill, and eat. And so, for Peter, this was certainly something supernatural. Changed the whole way that he thought about things. And of course, we know what happened right after this. Those Gentiles came looking for him, and he goes over and preaches to them, and they get saved. And so, I tell you what, friends, when heaven opens, like in Revelation 19:11, when John was over there, the Apostle John the Revelator, it says this in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When John said that he saw heaven opened, he really saw something, friends. He saw something that we're going to see one of these days when Jesus comes down there with the host of the heaven. And I hope that we're, Brother Scott, I hope we're on one of those big old white horses right behind him, just coming right with him. You know, we're going to come right down through there with him when heaven opens. And so I think it's safe to say when heaven opens, you better look for wonderful, great things happening. When the heavens opened, when Jesus came out of the water, it most certainly was a supernatural event. And we all know it because it says in our text, and the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. So the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus that day. All the synoptic gospels mention this, and the Gospel of Luke says less than Mark or Matthew, but he adds something else that they don't put in there. Listen to this in Luke 3:21-22. He writes, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. And so Matthew and Mark both state the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove, but Luke tells us that the Spirit descended in bodily shape like a dove. And so this gives us a little more insight of exactly what the other people may have seen that day. Now, did all the people see this? I believe they did. I believe everybody saw it. I believe John certainly saw it. Jesus saw it. I believe all the people saw it. The Holy Spirit comes down can you explain it? in the bodily shape like a dove. But we know he's a spirit. But however it happened is like those people in that upper room when they were praying and the Holy Spirit came down and looked like tongues on fire. The Holy Spirit can do what he wants to do. He can do anything. But when we think about that dove, we always think about, well, for instance, look, floating right up here above our baptistry over here, that little dove up there, he's He spins. I like to watch him. I love that dove up there. But we always think about that dove, but it wasn't an actual dove. It was the Holy Spirit in bodily shape like a dove. And so he somehow, the gracefulness of a dove, and I know I talk about this a lot, especially in Sunday school, because I watch doves from over at the parsonage all the time. But we've got a whole bunch of them back there in the backyard that we feed. And they come swooping out of the trees, and those things are big, and they got their big long wingspan. And they come down, and they're so different than all the other birds. All the other birds, I don't know, they're just different. Doves are different. And they come down, and they gracefully, and they get down on the ground, and are eating those seeds and everything. And I love to watch them. But you can just imagine what this must have been like as the Holy Spirit descended down in some kind of bodily shape that resembled a dove the way it did it. And so to the Jews, this dove, of course, represented, it was an emblem of purity, of innocence, peace. And also the dove also represented that God was no longer had wrath on them. If you remember when Noah, after the flood, when he opened up, he sent a dove out to see if it was time to come out or not. And if he knew if that dove didn't come back, that God's wrath was appeased and it was time. Now the waters were departed and they can go out. So this dove represented God's wrath being appeased as well. And so the dove also is mentioned several times throughout the Bible. The undefiled bride of Christ over in the Song of Solomon, the dove's referred to. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and it talks about the Spirit moved on the water, it says this in Genesis 1 through 2, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, it does not say he moved like a dove, but that's the general sense that we have of like a dove floating and hovering above the water is the way we see that. The Jews and their Talmud, they actually have a commentary on this part of the book of Genesis, and they say this. They say the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters like a dove. We don't follow the Jewish Talmud or anything like that, but that's the mindset of these Jews. And so when they see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in bodily shape like a dove, to them this is a sign from God. This is a sign from heaven that this is different. This man that this has come up, this has never happened before, friends. That didn't happen on anybody else John baptized. It's only happened on this man. This man's different. He's set apart. God has anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And so it's fitting that the emblem of a dove would be what the Holy Ghost would manifest himself as during the baptism of Jesus and his anointing. Remember, this is an anointing. And, by the way, I can't stop without mentioning this fact. All three members of the triune Godhead are present during the baptism of Jesus. All three of them. We have Jesus the Son being baptized. We have the Holy Spirit descending on him in bodily shape as a dove. And we have God the Father, and he speaks from heaven. God speaks in verse 11 of our text. It says, "And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so we have all three members of the triune Godhead here, the Trinity. This is a great way to teach the Trinity right here. Those people that don't want to deny it say, well, you tell me exactly who all this is then. If there's not three members of God right here, then what is that? They're not going to be able to tell you. They'll try to make something up. But this is all, we can see this so clearly. But the voice from heaven, of course, is God's voice. And God's voice is mentioned in the Bible numerous times. And when he speaks, great things are happening when God speaks. Here during the baptism of Jesus, wonderful things, of course, as he says he's well pleased with his Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke. In Luke 9:35, it says, "There came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him." Then we have the Father saying that about his Son during his commissioning into the ministry. We have him there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He recognizes who he is. And then just before his betrayal, in John 12:27-29, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Listen to this. "Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. They didn't even know what was going on when God did this up there from that cloud or from glory from heaven. And he said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And shortly after this, Jesus will hang on the cross as God's wrath will be appeased by crushing his son for the sins of man. And that's what he came into this world for. So here we have God himself expressly stating that Jesus is his son. That's a very important key. If Jesus is not God's son, he's not the Messiah. If he's not God's son, he's not going to be the Savior of all men. If he's not God's son, he's not pure and innocent and holy. But he is. And God himself expressly stated, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. There's no further question or speculation needs to be made on who Jesus was or is. God declared it. And he said he's well pleased. This is Jesus' official send-off into the earthly ministry as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lamb that take away the sin of the world.
If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bailey Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.